wonderful day, and I thank you for Byron's heart that you've put it in him to prepare our message today. I pray that you would anoint his mind and his mouth to speak your heart, and open our ears to hear what you would say to the gathering place this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Good morning. Good morning. You're working, yeah. My heart's pumping. I can't believe that I'm going to be blessed by giving this message. So it's something that the enemy is really actively working. You know, when you think of the word submit, it can carry positive and it can carry negative. Right? When we hear submit, I don't want to submit, you know? So we're going to learn about submitting and who do we submit to and what is the result of that submitting. You know, in life, you take a job, right? You take a job, and sometimes you really don't research the person or the organization that you decided to work for. And sometimes good things can happen, and sometimes bad things can happen, because what you're really entering into is submitting to the people you're working for. Correct? The scripture talks about submitting to your spouse, and that people can have a positive or negative thing about that. But you know what? You know, it says wives submit to your husbands, but it says husbands love your wives, and both those got to be working. But then it also talks about us submitting to each other in the Lord. We can say submit to those in authority over us. Our nation's having that struggle right now. Right now in Minnesota, there's people submitting against the authority of the government. Now a whole group of people have countered that in their meeting, and there's a clash because they're saying, no, we need to submit to rule of law. So, and what the guy said this morning, he says, wow, I'm having this clash. A whole bunch of people are saying submit to the rule of law. And the other group, no, we don't have to submit to rule of law. And they're colliding and there's no authority there. They said they couldn't find any police or anything around them. These guys are punching each other, you know, about these two things. So submit to those in authority over us. What we're going to learn this morning, well, before I get to that, you know what? The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and even affecting the body of Christ, there's a submission going on, and that people are submitting to really bad things in the body of Christ and out of the body of Christ. One of them is pornography. What you're doing when you're hooked, you're actually saying, I'm submitting myself to that. I'm submitting to, if I get this, you know, if I buy or have this certain thing, I'll be happy. It will satisfy me. And it falls short, doesn't it? Submitting to, and who we're submitting to, I would have to say, becomes very important. It becomes the way out of addiction. And you'll find this out from Scripture. So I guess the last one I have written here, submitting to God Himself. I guess if we're going to say, if I'm going to say I'm going to submit to God, I have to find out who God is and the depth of who he is. For myself, before I came to know Jesus, I lived an immoral life. When I found Jesus, everything changed. I guess in order to define that, sometimes we hear the word repent, and I go, but in what it really means is change your mind. Change your mind. Because this person, me, that was living a immoral life, when Jesus came in, I changed my mind. And I won't go into that story that some of you heard about. One of the girls that was having an improper relationship, when I changed my mind and changed, she came to know Jesus. And she changed. So what's this thing? We're going to spend some time encouraging one another from the Word of God to know the God we're submitting to. You okay with that? Okay with that? And I guess you have to start with Matthew 26:39. Going a little further, he fell to his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible for this cup to be taken from me, yet not my will, but your will be done." We'll start from the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And in his earthly time on life, he completely learned the power of submitting to his Heavenly Father. And he went through some very difficult things to purchase our salvation because he was willing at that moment to submit to his Heavenly Father. Let me get ahead of myself. If we're suffering, if we're struggling with eating disorders, pornography, or things, or anything that there is, good or bad, that takes the place of God, and you want out, and you want to be set free, consume yourself with Jesus. Consume yourself. And we're learning that is totally, totally every waking hour consuming yourself with Jesus. So, somebody mentioned Daniel this morning. In Daniel 6:20-22, when he came near the den, he called out to Daniel in anguish, the king's voice, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you have served continually, been able to rescue you?" Or you might say, has the God that you submitted your life to helped you? Daniel answered, "May the king live forever. My God has sent an angel and shut the mouths of the lions and have not hurt me because I have found insight in his sight, nor have I ever done any wrong before your majesty." A couple things here. Daniel submitted to the rule of that country and the king, but he never left submitting himself to God Almighty. He didn't put up a fight and say, "King, you can't do this, brother man. Don't you know God? Don't you know?" No, the king, because of what he edict, had to throw him into the lions. But King took notice of who Daniel submitted to and who he believed in. And really, it changed the heart of the king. Romans 13:1-5, let everyone be subject to the governing authorities. For those on authority are authority except that which God has established. The authorities are in existence, have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against God, has instituted those who do his will bring judgment on themselves. For the rulers hold no terror over those who do right, but those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear from the one in authorities? Then do what is right and you will be commended. And the one in authority is God's servant for your good. But if you are doing wrong, be afraid. For the rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servants. Against the wrath of bringing punishment on the wrongdoers. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to authorities, not only those who are possible punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. Now, key here is you have to understand the culture they're in, and you say, wait, you know, there's some people really convinced that they, in America right now, that they can go against the authority of the government. Now, in context of what the instruction here is he's saying, submit yourself to government. What was behind what was said here? For Christians under Roman rule, it could cost their life. And he's saying, submit to them. You know what's interesting as you go through the book of Acts and things like that? And we have these men of God martyred for the kingdom. You know what's interesting? They submitted to what they were going to go through with joy to give their life for Christ. They didn't put up a fight. In not putting up a fight to preserve their own life, you have to say they submitted to authorities. And that's going on in Nigeria. It's going on in other places of the earth. Not here, but it's happening. And it's really putting ourselves in the hands of God Almighty. Jesus prophesied over his closest followers, the 11. What's very interesting with that? He actually prophesied that all of them would be martyred except one, John. It's a whole idea of submitting to God and leaving the consequences in his hands. Amen? You're all excited about this, right? So then we go on to Ephesians 5:22-33, and I won't go through you very. This is about husbands and wives, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but highlight it. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands, as you do to the Lord. You know, and that's the part where you might say, "What? I'm not doing that." But you know what? The part as you do to the Lord, what we're going to, in this journey we're going together this morning, we're going to find out more about who God is and who we're really submitting to. And when you learn who you're submitting to and who he is, it makes it easy to submit, even though very difficult. Because it also says, husband loves your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So here's a very human relationship that we are aware of, husbands, wives, husbands and wives. And the connection here is that there's a deeper connection than just a husband and a wife. A wife submitting to her husband loving her wife, his wife. That what we're going to find out as we continue on this little journey together is that it's not difficult to submit to somebody that you know loves you. Let me say it again. It's not difficult to submit to somebody that you know loves you. Now, of course, I want to take this up, take it away from the husband and wife, and take it to the God that you at one time said, "I receive you in my life." I guess what I have to do then, as a believer, is discover how much God loves me. I mean, come to that place of the fullness of finding out how much am I loved. And when I come to the greater level of how much I'm loved, I'm in a greater level, I'm willing to submit to him, knowing he knows what I'm going through. Well, Psalm 91 gives us a little information about how much God loves you and me. I will say the Lord, he's my refuge, fortress, in whom I trust. So I guess to discover how much God loves us, we have to know he's the go-to. He's my protection. He's my fortress. He's my mighty God. And there's no one like him. There's no one can protect me like he can. He's my refuge and my fortress. So I will trust him. I would trust him with my very life. Surely he will save you. Or save me. I'll put it in the first place. Surely he will save me from the fowler snare and from the deadly pestilences. My faith would say, God, you are the only one that can deliver me. You're it. You're my only place to go to. If I buy a new thing, that's not going to help me. If I do this or do that or anything in the world, is not going to help me. But that's it. You know what? It's let's go back. I didn't have a plan on this, but here, let's go back to when Jesus was tempted in the desert, and one of the areas was the devil says, "Bow down to me, and I'll give you." I have authority to give you everything you could ever desire in this world. And he said, the answer was, the only one to bow down to is the Lord my God. Amen? So he He's the one who will save you. He's the one who will save you. There's no other place to go but to him when we're going through difficult times. And verse 4, he will cover you. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampant. You know what? A real comfortable place. Nah, this is just me. I like heavy covers on me when I'm sleeping and resting. I like to just, and I
hug those covers.
But then we have to think about, you know what? I like heavy covers. You know what? God is my covering. God, as much as those heavy covers on myself put me fast asleep in a total peace, God says, I'm your covering. I cover you. I give you the place of peace when there is no peace, when there's stress on my life. Lord says, he's my refuge. You make the Most High your dwelling place. This is key. You know what? There's all kinds of helps to try to get people out of addiction. But could it be the way out of addiction is to be consumed by God himself? That you come to this, elevate him to this place where knowing him and just encountering him and crying out to him, that there's the place where freedom comes. He's my refuge. The Most High is my dwelling place. What he's saying about us knowing God and being involved with him, being consumed by him, that he's the place I choose to live in. No harm will overtake me. I'm going to put it in first part, me. No disaster will come near my tent. Is that how my view of God is? When things come that can harm me or disaster comes, is he my go-to place? Or do I go somewhere else? And really that submission point is, you know, people will... Things, pornography, or whatever the go-to, you, when you're going to that place, rather than going to God himself, it's called addiction. But God, could it be that in these awful addictions, if we run to our Heavenly Father and our God and just lay it at his feet, is that the way out? I would say, yes, it is, because it's been for me. It's been for me. He has commanded his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. Now, it's interesting enough that, and you all know about this, when you know, and this is why I'm so concerned about the younger generation. Because I was just a very young boy when I visited my my grandma and my Uncle Bill, who was the youngest of seven kids, who was only 10 years older than me. He had not been married, and he was still living at home with his mom, because his dad passed away when he was very young. And as a little boy, I was playing in my uncle's bedroom. And in that plane in my uncle's bedroom, I just, all of a sudden, I pick up this magazine called Playboy. And you know what? It's not just pornography, but it's where it leads you. When you think it's going to comfort you, what the end game is destruction and destroy you. And I remember even as a young boy, I said, I knew as I was pacing through this was not good for me. And I tried everything as an unbeliever to try to fix things, but it didn't work. But where it led me, not just looking at pictures, but actually then, as I got older, live a life of immorality. And when I came to Jesus, guess what? You know, I was so wanted to know the one I just gave my life to, the one I just submitted to. I so wanted to know him and know all about him. It drove me to spend my vacation time in the Word of God. And I want to tell you, being consumed by him changed my life. More than any counselor could, more than any advisor could. I just pursued, hungered to have my life consumed by God himself. And in that, I got free from that stuff. Freedom from addiction. Freedom about buying things that I thought would help me and fulfill my life. It's a freedom from, you know, it was in this freedom, God brought me this amazing woman of God. Yep. To guard you in all your ways. There's a way that seems right unto man. In the end, there is his death. And all the addiction, all the stuff the devil brings up, to be a substitute for knowing God, it doesn't work. It leads to destruction. But God, being consumed in who he is, will guard me in all my ways. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him, and I will protect him. For the knowledge of my name. Now back again, being consumed who he is. This is the way out of things. Acknowledging his name and who he is. He will call me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. After pride comes a fall. Humbling yourself before God Almighty says, I will exalt you in the proper time. With long life, I will satisfy him. You know what? When in my 20s, I encountered Jesus. But it was not just the born again experience, but it brought me to a place of pursuing who he is, being consumed by who he is, and the things started breaking off my life. It was more about somebody I just encountered and I wanted to know more about him. Well, then we have to go to, what about it? These are things he's all about, found in Psalms 91. Corinthians chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, for Christ's love compels, I put it, me. When you read the scriptures, start reading to put yourself in there. You know, it says us, you, da, 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 me, me. Christ's love consumes me because I'm convinced that he is the one who died for all and therefore all died. Christ, so what should my life look like? Not only that I have a Savior that died and bled on my behalf and gave his life for me, and now I have an opportunity to pursue him. We'll get more into that. 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The gift of righteousness. I need to know that and believe that and have that consume me, that when I gave my life to Jesus Christ and I became born again, that I became his workmanship, his child, the one he loves, the one he supports, the one he helps, that I get consumed with the fact that I am living in right standing with God continually. Do I have some sins or hiccups? Yes. I go before his throne of grace and say, yes, I confess it. And you know what? Because of this experience with Jesus, the only right thing the Father can do, because I know Jesus, is to forgive me. But I'm glad it doesn't just stop with just forgive me, but cleanse me from all unrighteousness. To walk in this place, consumed by God, knowing that my righteousness is a gift, not what I can do. Ephesians 2, 4 and 6. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved. God, guys, doesn't lack mercy. And it's by his unearned, unmerited favor over our lives that we're saved. I'm trying to build something here for all of us. If there's things that are just trip you up, just try being consumed by Jesus and fixing your spiritual eyes on him. And you know what? The stuff that messes us up will start falling off. Psalms 86. But you, Lord, are compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. I don't know if you've been there, but you know what? The enemy's tricky. And one of the tricks he plays on me is, oh, God must be mad at me. God must be displeased with me. And you know what? If that rises up, you're trapped. You have to go back and stop, and say, you know what? My God is compassionate and gracious to me. I will not allow myself to ever think he's angry or disappointed with me. Psalms 147. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. That's the kind of God we serve. That's the kind of God. He's about healing us and taking care of the wounds of life. You know, it's the disappointments of life, the things. The wounds. If you don't take care of a wound, it will get worse. God's your answer. Consumed by Him. Just have your whole focus on Him. Psalms 103, the Lord is compassionate and gracious. Remember I said, hey, God must be disappointed in me. He, how can he love me? I mean, that, and all these thoughts, blah, that go through your mind. Get rid of it. Have your mind consumed by who he is, by the renewing of your mind and thinking. Here it is. He's compassionate and gracious. That's the God I'm going to, the one who's compassionate and gracious to me. Slow to anger. That means slow to anger. That means he's not quick to get mad at you, but abounding in love. First John 4:19. We love because he first loved us. Key to what we're trying to look here is as we look at the God that we've given our life to, or we might say submitted our life to, where is the source to break off the junk? And what could be one key word that we would go to him with everything and desire to please him with all heart and soul and mind? The word is, he loves you. He loves you. He loves me. He loves you and me in a deeper level than we can ever experience with human love. He loves you and me knowing everything about us. Everything. Nothing can be hidden from his sight. That's why we can go through his throne of grace with confidence. Key to life transformation is the level of how much we know he loves us. John, 1 John 4:10. And this is love, not that we love God, but that he loves us and sent his son as an atoning grace for our sins, for our inadequacies. You know, I could try to be demonstrate how much I love God. Well, man, I love God. Ooh, I love God. Man, God's everything about me. But you know what? That's not where it's at. That's not where it's at. Life transformation, life changing in our life is not how much I love him. It's about how much he loves us. The devil said, I'll give you the world. He says, uh-uh. Only God can satisfy me in the greatest need of my life. Back to that verse we started with. Not my will be done, Father, but your will. Jesus demonstrated his love for us. No greater love than this, that somebody would give their life for somebody else. And that's exactly what Jesus did. That's exactly what he did. That's exactly what he encountered when he was, blood was coming out of his sweat glands and saying, I'll do this because I love you. Psalms 103, as a father has compassion to his children, so the Lord has compassion for those who fear him. And that's really saying, you know what? As a father, you're amazing, Dad. I see how you love your kids. It's amazing. It's amazing to watch and witness. But as much as I see that in you, I need to have my eyes focus on God's compassion and love for me. That's the power source of life transformation. A little word, L-O-V-E. 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. And the one who fears is not made perfect by love. Wait, wow. Wow, these words. These words are something for me to be consumed with. That God's not out to punish me. He's out to show me how much he loves me. And in showing me how much he loves me, drives fear out of my life. Wow. That's so... I wish I could spend more time on all these verses. But you know what? sometimes situations come up, fear comes up. And when fear comes up, is really doubting the God that can take care of what I'm thinking about. But if at that moment, oh man, how am I going to pay my bills? How am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? And all of a sudden, fear starts to consume me. How do I break loose? Stop a moment. God, you see my circumstances. You see what I'm going through. And I know something about you, that you love me. You love me so deeply. I just can't get a hold of how much you love me. And I want to thank you how much you love me. I want to praise you for how much you love me. And fear goes. Fear goes. John 15, for no longer a worship team coming up here. For no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I call you friends. For everything that I've learned from my Father, I will make known to you. You know what? I shared that Christmas Eve at the church here, Christmas Day. Of all the names of Jesus, what I'm pursuing with all my heart and soul, mind, this year for 2026, to learn in a deeper way how much Jesus is my friend. And in saying that, he's saying this friendship is for everything I've learned from my Father, I'll make known to you. I'll get to understand my Heavenly Father and His great love for me, that He sent His own Son to die in my behalf, that I might have life and life more abundantly, that fear cannot consume me, but His love can consume me. And I want to share, you know, I hope what you're getting from this whole thing is when just focus on something very simple, how much God loves you. And get yourself, myself and yourself and all of us, just consumed with His love. Then when the issues of life come, when the temptations of life come, when fear comes, when you think God has forsaken you, when those kind of thoughts come flying into your mind from the devil, you can come back and say, I am so loved, God. I am so loved for you. I know this is some difficult stuff I'm going through right now, but I love that you love me so deeply and unconditionally. Now, just before we sing this song we sing at Christmas, one more verse and we'll close. Hebrews 11:6. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. And what I'm trying to say through this whole message, we must believe He exists. What that means, to know everything about your Heavenly Father. Know how much He's committed to you. Know how much He loves you. Know how much He's concerned about every little detail of your life. And get consumed by Him. Get consumed by Him. And the only thing that comes out of heaven's thrones and heaven's gates is He wants to reward you. He wants, in other words, He wants to bless you. He wants to freely give you His favor over your life. He knows what you're going through. He knows all about the addictions. He knows all about all this stuff, but we must believe He exists. And in that, guys, we have to consume ourselves to discover and find out who He is. You know the most descriptive description of who He is? You know what it is? God is love. You can start with that. It'll take you a long way in life. God is love. So in closing, I ask Fine to do what we did on Christmas. Two things. One thing I'm going to do this year, I want to discover my friend. I want to be consumed by a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And His name is Jesus. So let's worship Him with our heart, because this writer of this song really captured a lot of this. What a friend we have in Jesus. Mm-hmm.